Now, I'm normally up here and just so terribly tightly organized that I even have the scripture marked. But this morning was a little disoriented. You know the feeling. So let's see if I can find Deuteronomy 18 in here this morning. Oh, there it is. Look at that. We're reading from verses 15 to 20. The Lord your God will rise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people, and you shall heed such a prophet. This is what you requested of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, if I hear the voice of the Lord my God anymore or ever again see this great fire, I will die. Then the Lord replied to me, they are right in what they have said. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their own people, and I will put my words in the mouth of the prophet, who shall speak to them everything I have commanded. Anyone who does not heed the words of the prophet shall speak in that speaks in my name, I myself will hold accountable. But any prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, or who presumes to speak in my name a word I have not commanded the prophet to speak, that prophet will die. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Even on that happy note. Because you all are on the path of calling a new pastor, and I know it's a long and arduous path in the Presbyterian system, I would like to humbly offer a couple of ideas for you to consider about your personal ministry and about your broader church's ministry. With the big game coming next Sunday, you know which one I'm talking about. Fly, Eagles, fly. Folks will be huddled around their TVs to watch the commercials as much as to watch the action on the field. Philadelphians will be singing Fly, Eagles, fly and wearing the green, of course. Advertisers will spend millions of dollars to attract our eyeballs and to get us to open our wallets and buy their products. Many of the ads will be creative and memorable, and more than a few of them will feature a celebrity or a familiar representative to push the merchandise. Some of these celebrities are pitch people, and they get connected to companies and products over a long period of time. After all, who could forget William Shatner hanging up his Captain Kirk uniform and started hawking for Priceline.com? Or if you're of a certain age, when the retired slugger Joe DiMaggio moonlighted as Mr. Coffee. And how many of us bought a coffee pot because Joe said we should? Brooke Shields rocked in Calvin Klein jeans, and Michael Jordan donned his Hanes underwear without a tag in it. Now, he did not prove that to me. I'm taking his word for it. They become so connected that we remember them years after the products have gone into retail obscurity, like Mr. Coffee has. Those celebrity faces added authenticity to the product, at least on the surface. And if the greatest basketball player in history likes tagless undies, for example, then we should also, right? But as often as the celebrity spokesman helps a product line, many of them have done more harm than good. namely the celebrity who goes off the rails by doing or saying something dumb at best and criminal at worst. Consider these cautionary tales. Jared Vogel, who was featured in nearly every Subway commercial for 15 years because he had lost 245 pounds eating their sandwiches, was imprisoned in 2015 for sexual misconduct with children. No surprise when Subway immediately dropped him as a spokesman. Michael Phelps was pitching cereal for the Kellogg Company when a video of him smoking marijuana in 2009 and a second DUI in 2014 got him bounced from the cereal aisle. He has since regained a few endorsements, for Americans are always forgiving of our winners, apparently. Then there's Paula Deen, the darling of the Food Network, until she was taken to court by former employees on charges of racial and sex discrimination. Smithfield Foods dropped her as a spokesperson. And then, of course, there's Tiger Woods and Lance Armstrong, both of whom were top in their respective sports until scandal took them down along with their sponsorships with Nike and Livestrong, respectively. Those are just a few of the sad stories of spokespeople gone wild, of pitchmen who went off the rails, which led to a bad image and bad press for the companies they were endorsing. They were people who presumed to speak on the behalf of the companies they represented, but their behavior turned out to be an embarrassment. Of course, such behavior isn't limited to commercial endorsements. The church has plenty of its own high-profile pitchmen caught in scandal and damage, and has damaged our reputation as a church, as people with morals and ethical standards. Discerning Christians, like discerning customers, need always to be on the lookout for authenticity in those who would stand before them and claim to be the Word of God, even for just 1 hour a week. Moses knew this was going to be a problem for Israel. He spends a little time in the latter part of Deuteronomy offering up some criteria for the kind of people God calls to be God's spokespeople. Men and women, and he warns them on how to spot a fake. The question for them is the same as those for us who preach and listen to preachers. How do you know the difference between a real prophet and a religious pitch person? How can you tell if someone is on the up and up or if she or he is leading the people into spiritual bankruptcy? In Deuteronomy 8, Moses offers two criteria for real prophets. That prophet will be like Moses, and that the prophet will be raised up from among God's own people. In other words, real prophets will speak and act in line with the law of God, and whatever their prophecy will affect them as much as it is to affect the people that they have been called out from among. In other words, the prophet will have the same norms and values as everyday Christians who take their Christianity to the workplace, away from the church building, away from wherever in their house they have their devotional time. They will be as authentic in the alleyways of life as they are on a Sunday morning, just as you are in your workplace. These are important distinctions because they are They are the ground of the prophet's words and work in the Word of God and in the community to which and out of which God has called them. Unlike the celebrity endorser, a prophet should be well known to those in his or her community before they ever receive a call. Now, I hear the question. We're calling somebody from out there to come and be with us. So, how will we know them really well? Part of that is trusting the communities they came from. What local church seeking a pastor must bear in mind is that our community is broader than the local congregation. So we rely on the reputation of a candidate that's built elsewhere. And we rely that our people doing the seeking will be able to get truthful answers when they ask questions of the folks that that person has either served or who came up with them in church, the references that they've been given. People will have an opportunity to observe their public persona in private, these people of the church they've come from, to witness their character in action and to determine whether their message matches the scriptures that they have studied and discerned together in community. As God told Moses, the prophet will speak to them everything I have commanded. And whoever fails to heed the word will be held accountable. The prophet will have a stake in the community to whom he or she preaches. Thus, whatever the prophet proclaims for the community will affect him or her as well as the people who are listening. To put it another way, the prophet's words is less directed toward you than it is directed toward us. Moses' warning is especially poignant in an age when it is possible for everyone to download a message from a host of celebrity preachers who are personally detached from our real life, our communities, the miles of wire and satellite that separate us. Many people in our day assume that if someone writing books or has a huge following online, he or she must be a real prophet. We seldom ask, is this a pitch person? Just look at the struggles of the prophets of Israel. You can see that it is no picnic to bear God's word. With that criteria in mind, it becomes easier to tell when someone is actually being prophetic as opposed to being a pitch person with a particular agenda. I'd like to offer a few telltale signs of when you're hearing a pitch person, not God's prophet. First of all, it's all about them. A pitchman is primarily in the business for the benefit of receiving from hawking a particular product or agenda. Thus, he or she is more likely to use their platform to manipulate others towards the end of either buying the product or buying into the product. When a person begins with an admonition like, God told me to tell you, or God gave me a vision, that's the time to be on high alert. Is that message truly in a nice, coherent line with everything you've learned at church through all the years and decades that you have been attached to the Christian community? Or is it taking you off in a wholly different direction? Through Moses, God warns his people to watch out for those who speak in my name. I have not commanded as prophet to speak, because the word is usually their own words, their own agenda. It does something for them. A real prophet, on the other hand, is more likely to suffer for the word that he or she is bringing. Witness the trials of Jeremiah and Isaiah, of John the Baptist and the disciples of Jesus, for just a few examples. Remember, if God calls you to be a prophet, God is not doing you a favor, because you are going to be confronted and challenged and even suspected as being unpatriotic. The second clue is if they are holding up other gods. God warns against prophets who are actually pitchmen of other gods. In Moses' day, that meant the idols of the Canaanites. But there are plenty of gods to go around today. If your prophet is making promises about your financial prosperity, friends, that's a major red flag. Believe the way I want you to believe, and God will rain riches down on your life. The riches are already here in the faith that has been accepted. What is he talking about? Biblical prophets are far more concerned about the poor than the rich, just as Jesus was. What you do for the least among us, you have done for all of us. Biblically speaking, if you're financially prosperous, your first priority should be to share that prosperity. Any prophet who puts his or her or your financial wealth ahead of the generosity is simply pitching a product and not sharing the gospel. As Jesus put it, you can't serve both God and wealth. You're going to have to choose. You find that in Matthew 6. Money is often part of an unholy trinity of other gods, which includes sex and power. It is not that any of these are bad in and of themselves, but it is that they make good servants, but terrible masters. When a prophet speaks a word that places wealth, sexual license, or political agenda over and above the word of God, then you've got yourself a pitchman pitching a different set of gods. You don't have to read very far into the Bible to realize the kind of destruction that comes from following a pitchman. The third characteristic is that their message doesn't match the message we find in Jesus' words. This one seems pretty obvious. If someone is preaching a gospel that they are not living out, then he or she is a religious peddler, not an authentic prophet. In other words, if it's do as I say, not as I do, you don't have an authentic prophet. Jesus warns his disciples against false prophets and religious pitchmen who come as wolves in sheep's clothing, but whose real character is revealed by their fruits. Again, go to the Gospel of Matthew, this time in the 7th chapter. The most authentic prophets are those who are vulnerable, whose weaknesses are known by the community, who live in humility and with good character. Real prophets may not be the most eloquent speakers, but their lives speak. And it speaks volumes as the truth of their message is proclaimed. The fourth characteristic is that you have a pitchman if the preaching comes to nothing. Through Moses, God offers the people a surefire way to tell whether God has spoken through the prophet or the prophet is speaking on his or her own. There in verse 22 it says, if a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, but the thing does not take place or prove to be true, it is a word that the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously, and do not be frightened by it. A real prophet knows the difference between his or her own words and the words of Almighty God. Paul differentiates his own advice on marriage from that of the Lord there in 1 Corinthians 7, for example. Paul is careful to separate what Paul thinks he's learned from living a long life from what he's been taught by God. It's not so much about the prophet's predictions as much as it is whether the prophet has rightly discerned the will of God and whether the community begins to change, to deepen in faith, to deepen in works, to have a broader mission as a result. Such an evaluation takes time, which is why the best prophets are often those who remain in a community over a period of years. They are there to see that God's word, through its completion, or at least its near completion, rather than simply dropping a message on everybody and hitting the road. A real prophet's message will continue to bear fruit and shape a community of faith as he or she lives with the people and in a deepening relationship with God. Now, I've made the focus for you today the preacher you're calling in the future. And these are good criteria for both preachers and congregations to evaluate themselves and one another. In what ways is the preacher living out the model of the prophet that we see in Moses and Isaiah and even in Jesus Christ? More importantly, in what ways is the congregation monitoring and evaluating its own ministry, its own mission, its own spiritual growth? Or are we leaving it to the preacher to tell us whether we're doing it right or not? Are we comparing the preacher and each other against an apparent success of those celebrity preachers and their big, huge congregations? Or are we looking for authenticity of the message and impact on the lives of others? How can you help each other be more authentic and attuned to God's word is a question you need to keep in mind through the next weeks and months of your search. How can you be God's message to this corner of God's great world, the corner in which you live? And of course, finally, fly, eagles, fly. Do you know? The word eagles appears 33 times in the Bible. The word patriot, zero. And may each of us be God's eagle in our corner of the world. Amen.